The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. That music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not. I'm your host, Chris Lindstrom. This is part of our series of preview podcasts for the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, happening September 9th to the 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to get your tickets for upcoming events. It's always great to buy them ahead of time so people know you're showing up. Get the app so you can find things on the fly. I've got a cup of coffee in my hand from our friends over at Joe Bean Roasters, and I'm here with a guest. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Brian McKenzie. I own Finger Lakes Distilling down at the base of Seneca Lake near Watkins Glen.
Yeah, so that's on the east side of Seneca Lake, most of the way down. A great trip to make. I'll say, as a severe food and drink nerd, a certified spirits professional through the WSET, a spirits judge, Finger Lakes is one great product, a great value. If you're buying local on the shelf, you're never going to go wrong by buying Finger Lakes Distilling products. I'm a huge fan, and it's really great to have you on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, excited to be here and excited for the Fringe Festival to get underway.
Yeah, so let's talk about the event, then we'll dive into more about Finger Lakes. But tell me about the event a little bit, because when Erica brought it up, one, I was thrilled, like, oh, what a great confluence. I get an excuse to talk to somebody that I respect, and just what a cool idea. So why don't you describe it a little bit?
Sure. We've been involved with Fringe for a number of years in different capacities. We've done tastings there. We've the past few years, we've been the sponsor for a lot of the cocktails that are served at the Spiegel Tent area. So we'll be doing that again this year. But we've always wanted to have kind of own our own event at the festival as well. So this is the year that we got our heads together with Erica and the team and decided to put together something that's a little more interactive, not just throwing information at people, but we're going to bring people in to learn a little bit about whiskey, our whiskeys, and whiskey in general. The idea is to do a little info session with just kind of the history and, you know, some interesting facts about whiskey, maybe taste through some of the different styles that are available. But then the second component to the event, which I'm really excited about, is an opportunity to kind of blindly taste through a number of our single casks. So we're going to bring some really fun things. We won't really tell people what's available, but we'll taste through and we'll have some kind of a way to have the group select one of the barrels that then will be bottled, and that'll be kind of the official whiskey of Fringe 2026, I guess. So,
oh, I love so that. Yeah, I think that's kind of fun too. You're making it interactive. So the actual event is called Dramocracy. That is on Friday, September 19th at 5 o'clock And this is at the Spiegel Tent. So this is right at the center of the Fringe Festival, right on Main Street. So this is, an easy place to get to. Tickets are $25, but you're getting a bunch of samples. You're getting to really contribute as well. So this is a great value, great place to go visit. And, Brian, I love the idea of sitting down. Well, I adore tasting with people. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do. And part of what I love about it is it really does facilitate a conversation and not just, I remember doing a couple visits to Lorraine Hem's class at RIT, talking to, college kids going through the hospitality and wine and spirits and how to taste and do everything. And the thing I always wanted to tell them was, what do you like about it? Why do you like this? And describe it, really enjoy the thing you have in front of you. And part of the way to learn how to do that is to taste with others and taste side by side and learn how to enjoy things.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do with this program here is, it's going to be well suited for somebody that's never been through this process before. So you can kind of see what that experience is like to really just kind of open up your mind and taste some things that you may not even know, where you're not going to know what we're putting in front of you. So it'll be, there's no biases at all. It's just kind of sit down and we'll talk about the spirits and have fun with that. But even if you've been through these, we get a lot of barrel picks at our facility. People come down and, groups, whiskey groups or store picks and things like that. So even if you've been involved with those, we promise to have some interesting things for you to taste. So if you're a veteran of this process, you'll still enjoy it as well.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the fun thing too, is coming in without that bias of knowing too much allows you to be really honest. And it's okay if you don't like something. And it's okay if this isn't for you, but this one is more. It's part of that journey about learning what do you really like, not just, the monikers that people use that are, if you haven't done the process and learned a lot, you might just say, oh, it's smooth, it's easy, it's nice. But
it's 10 years old, people think the age statement means everything, but it's not always the case. So yeah, it's a good way to, just broaden your horizons a little bit.
Yeah. And I do have to say, something that you mentioned is really a fascinating part of what can be a very positive part of, the community, the spirits community is the opportunity to taste single barrel things. So let's talk about that for a second, because that's part of what you're bringing here. On my show, I get a little more into the nerdery when it comes to some of these things. But let's talk about that versus what people see on the shelves, because that's not from one barrel typically.
Correct. Yeah. So we have our standard line of spirits, quite a few, actually. We do about 20 different spirits, most of which is whiskey, but we make gin and vodka and everything else as well. But those products, we strive for consistency. So, we'll take a number of barrels, blend them together, a batch size, maybe anywhere from 8 to 20 barrels. And we want to find those barrels that really express the same kind of taste and everything that we've been known to put out for the different products. But
and also just to briefly interrupt and tell people, when we're saying like it's an 8 to 10 barrel, we're talking 55 gallon barrels. And when you see larger national scale brands, say small batch, This is way, way, way smaller batch mixing than the smallest batches that they ever talk about, unless it is a single barrel thing. So even that is very, very curated and very specific, because it's not hundreds of barrels going into the smallest batches that you see.
Correct. Yeah, we're pretty small when it comes to the world of whiskey. On the larger side of like New York craft, I would say, but definitely nothing compared to the big guys out there. To answer your question, with this program and our single barrel program, we approach that in a couple different ways. One is we may find a barrel that just has a different taste. It may show a different characteristic, or it may have you know, just kind of blow us away with the taste profile. And those will be set aside for single barrels, and they can be the same, you know, recipes as our standard products. But then we also do some other things. We'll do unique mash bills. So we'll set things aside specifically for the single barrel program. And we generally release these at cask strength. So, you know, it'll be a little higher proof. People can water it down to their liking. It's a very custom. We have a label where we'll put all the specs of the barrel on it, handwritten on the label. And a lot of times there'll be a sticker or a neck tag or something like that that's added to it as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about, we're kind of doing like a little bit of 101 here too, because this is, I think it's a fascinating way to look at it. So, this is why I love craft spirits and craft whiskey. Is there is more flexibility. There's more opportunity for singular vision of, hey, we're doing this thing because we think it's cool, because we think it's interesting. So when you mentioned mash bill, so for everybody thinking about this, basically that means, you know, the different percentages of the grains that are going into this base thing where you cook the grains and ferment and then distill everything out. But the choice of what grains go into that changes the profile of the whiskey in a very large way. And at large scale, at big places, they're very rigid. You have the opportunity to kind of be flexible and try different stuff at smaller levels too, where, hey, you want to introduce a different grain or try something different, you can, instead of just being forced into the, you know, single exact percentage mash bill that everybody's known for a long time.
Yeah, it's a benefit of being small and agile. You know, we can play around. You know, we got to keep our regular SKUs, you know, on the shelves, and we're committed to that. But yeah, it does. You know, as somebody that likes to play around and be, you know, inventive, whether it comes to cooking or anything, you know, and plus we have a team that kind of has that same mentality. They enjoy mixing things up a little bit and trying something new.
Yeah, and I also love that you mentioned something that, you know, if people are ever trying to buy gifts for people, you know, buy a gift of a really nice bottle for somebody, there's something really special about when you go to a store that also cares a lot about what they do, that you can get what you referred to as a store pick, where they might pick a single barrel and they get to sell that to their customers and have something really interesting that is different than the normal label. And I'm thinking of our friends over at, you know, Baytown Spirits up in Webster. I've bought multiples of this because I'm scared that it'll go away. They had, you know, a single barrel rye that was finished in Jamaican rum casks, Hampton Estate rum casks. And I got to say, one, this is one of my favorite whiskeys I've ever had. Because one, the base is really good, but the choices that were made are so singular and it's so harmonious. And having something like that that is a truly unique experience, either with finishes or other things, is a great way to give something that's really unique versus just expensive. Because I think that's where the interest lies, at least to me. It's way more fun to work around craft brands that are doing something unique and fun versus just something that's rare. Because I'm kind of over chasing everything. I don't want to chase and pay secondary market and be in the toxic circle of biggest prices, biggest interest. I think that's why Fringe interests me so much, is it's not, this isn't like the most rare, exclusive, highest price events. This is stuff that is fun and bottom up and really cool opportunities to see unique performances and have unique experiences. And that's why this just seems like a perfect fit where,
yeah,
you know, craft spirits and something like this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. That's a lot of what, you know, has attracted us to be involved in this festival. You know, there's, you know, a little irreverent and wacky in some ways, which I, you know, can identify with in some respects. But it's also, you know, there's something for everybody too. You know, we've gotten our kids up there for events and you know, the community that's built around it. So yeah, I think it's a good fit for us. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's do just a brief history of Finger Lakes because, as you mentioned, you know, one of the bigger New York State craft brands. Talk about, you know, roughly when did Finger Lakes start and why did you decide to, you know, make a distillery?
Sure. So the story goes back to 2007. That's when we got our start. So it doesn't sound like too long ago, but in the world of craft spirits, we were one of the first in the state. That's going back a ways. We, you know, I'm from the area. I love the wine tourism that's happening around the lakes and wanted to start a business that kind of dovetailed with that. My interest has always been more in spirits and specifically in whiskey. And I just thought that there's no reason we couldn't put a really good distillery right in the heart of wine country. We have the raw material to work with. We have the water source, the, you know, the tourism. So there were a lot of things going for it. Back in those days, the laws were not friendly for craft distillers and we had to change all that with, you know, some new legislation that introduced the farm distilling class, which we operate. Most of our products are made under that. And that requires us to use New York agriculture in our products. And it allows us to host the public and sell direct and things like that. So,
which is huge, by the way, to have, you know, regardless of the license, being able to use New York State grain, like, there's just an amazing bounty of agriculture in upstate New York that you have just a ton of options. And I know a lot of stuff has now popped up to support the industry as well with processing and other stuff in a way that didn't or couldn't exist at that point too.
Yeah, the movement has really resurrected old industries like malt houses and you got the hops with the beer and things like that. So it's exciting what's happened. And like you said, we have everything to work with. So we're not just a grain distillery. We use apples and grapes and all kinds of fruit and different brandies. So
and
we try to take advantage of.
Yeah, the fruit distillates are very good as well. I've had those. They're really well made.
Just got to get more people drinking that stuff. Whiskey's,
I know, right?
The hot topic right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, yeah. So, you know, started in 2007 and, you know, it's something that people, I think, often when they see something open, they're like, oh yeah, let's go get some whiskey right away. Like, this is a long process to get something that's ready to serve. So when you're starting and working through all these laws, this is a big undertaking. This isn't just, oh, let's open and let's bring people in. This is a long and involved process.
Yeah, it took about 2 years to have our first sale after, you know, starting the process with the licensing and everything.
Wow.
And it's still, you know, a tedious business to be in with all the paperwork and regulation. But, you know, the state has gotten behind the craft beverage industry in a big way. They realize all the benefit, the economic benefits with it, and have really helped to modify the laws to make it a more business-friendly environment.
Yeah, and I think that matters a lot, too, for something like this that is, you know, keeping dollars and agriculture. It's really dollars from top to bottom in New York, right? This isn't, hey, we're importing everything and we sell everything out of state. We just happen to produce here and have a few jobs. Like, you're supporting farmers, you're supporting tourism. This is fundamentally a New York thing from top to bottom.
Absolutely. I mean, the farm that we're obtaining our grains from is 2 miles away from the distillery. And, you know, it's a family farm that he's historically just planted, you know, corn, commodity kind of thing. And now he's planting, you know, particular types of grain that yield, higher dollar amounts for the farm. So and that's kind of happened all across the state. So I think it's been a really good thing.
Yeah, and I think it also lets farmers do something different, too, because there's, you know, people just think, oh, yeah, corn is corn, rye is rye. I'm like, no, there's so many different varieties and different ways and creative ways to try different flavors. You know, I forget, I think it was,
you know, from our friends over at Hollerhorn, they had a rye that I've never tasted anything like it. And it was just like, so it was a different variety of rye. I've never tasted anything that tasted like that before. And it's,
yeah, it's a rye is a great example because when we first started, there wasn't really rye being grown for commercial use in the state. There was cover crop rye that people were growing, you know, particularly like around the vineyards to fortify the soils. But, you know, it's pretty low quality stuff that didn't yield well and didn't have much flavor. So then, you know, we started to research and brought in specific seed that we wanted that would yield the product that we were after. So it's a very good example.
Yeah. And also, like, you hear like people talk about what was whiskey a long time ago, and so much of it was rye. Like, so much, because a lot of it grown in the north, and rye is a durable crop in many ways. Like, this was what this was for a long time. And now to see
it was a big deal in New York State. It was, you know, made commercially. It was well respected, you know, in different parts of the country. We've tried to pay respect to that with creating Empire Rye Association now, because there's some really good rye being made again. And, you know, the history of rye in New York. So, you know, most of the rye that you're seeing, you'll see an Empire Rye logo on it, which we've, you know, trademarked. And we're trying to work together to bring awareness to the category.
Yeah, and I think it's great to see that, because it, you know, whiskey isn't just bourbon. It's not just scotch. It is so many different, you know, so many different things. And that exploration is the fun, and learning what, you know, what it tastes like. Why is this different? Why does this taste spicy? Why is this way? It's just a fun process. And I kind of want to go back to our event. So the event's on Friday the 19th at 5 o'clock at the Spiegel tent, $25 tickets. Make sure you get those ahead of time. But when you're thinking about picking what goes into a tasting event like that, you know, how do you think about balancing it? Do you, you know, are you going all, you know, you're going some bases, some big, some weird, some interesting. How do you think about formulating a tasting where you don't know the people that are coming in?
Well, with this one, I think we're going to try to express the variety of what we can do with different grains. So, you know, we do get groups to come in and they know they want a bourbon. So we're going to put bourbons in front of them. But with this case, I think kind of exploring the variety, you know, in terms of malted grains and you know, bourbon rye, you know, kind of showing how you just tweak the mash bills with the grain and it expresses a totally different flavor to the whiskey. So that's what we'll do with this event. You know, we'll probably throw a curveball in there too as well.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. It's a good time. And I have to say, like, you know, having been, you know, taster for a long time, I love seeing progression. I love seeing places get better and better over time. And to see, you know, see the varieties, see you guys expand has been a very heartening thing, and consistent quality. When you're thinking about what you're bringing to your customers, what you're bringing, you know, the support to New York State, and you look back at this whole journey of making a consistent product and, you know, serving the, you know, the state and the region, how are you feeling about that whole journey at this point? Because you're now almost 20 years in. How do you think about that journey now?
Well, it's stay so busy, it's hard to kind of reflect most of the time, but I guess when I do, I mean, I'm proud of what we built. There's no question. It's been a lot of hard work from a lot of people, you know, over the years. And, you know, I think we always try to bring people in that are, you know, passionate about it, but also just genuine about the process. We don't really try to play any tricks on anyone, which is does happen in the spirits industry, believe it or not. Just kind of putting it out there, like, this is what we have to offer and this is how we made it, and just be proud of that. So that's kind of our stance on everything.
That's awesome. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me on a Saturday morning to talk through the event. So again, the event is Dramocracy. It's an hour-long event at the Spiegel Tent on Friday the 19th at 5 o'clock. Get your tickets at rochesterfringe.com. Anything else I missed before we close out?
No, I just hope we get a good crowd. It's going to be a fun event, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
All right. Thanks for joining me, and make sure to come out and also check out the Lunch at Our Podcast Network's event on September the 13th at 3 o'clock at the Bausch & Lomb Library location in downtown Rochester, New York. It's a free event at the Rundle Room. We're doing a mystery event, and you won't know, the hosts won't even know what they're talking about until we start. So we're really excited about that. We're going to have a great time. Check out all the events at rochesterfringe.com, and we'll see you out on the Fringe.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.
Very brief nerdery moment for everybody who's still listening. Get the Finger Lakes rye. It's finished in Cherry Cask. It's awesome.